south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hate to start this episode out on kind of a brackish note, but a gringo came up to me the other day, and he said, you know, Johnny, I just love Latin America, but there are some things I really don't like about it, too. Some things I don't think I could ever get used to. He said, have Latins never heard of the courtesy flush? Well, we all know what that is, right? Again, quote, courtesy flush means exactly what it says. When you go to the restroom, you don't want to have any surprises, and you don't want to give the next guy any surprises either. But you know that gringo, his name is Greg, by the way, was absolutely right. Latins don't know what a courtesy flush is. In fact, even if your Spanish is pretty good and you try to translate the concept for them, you'll get a deer in the headlights look from all social classes of Latin. That includes disposably kind of gringoized upper middle classes and wealthy. Now, you might think it's the fault of Latin men. Like I mentioned in the last show, they feel the whole world is their urinal, so why should they care about any bathroom etiquette at all? Though I'd like to blame Latin macho men for this faux pas, but in this case, it's not true. The real reason is that at least 90% of the families in Latin America don't have water 24/7. You've heard me say this on past shows. A lot of them only have it 8 or 10 hours a day. Of course, we're talking about city water, municipal water. That's where the vast majority of Latin households and families get theirs. And in those hours where it is flowing, it's no great shakes, let me tell you. And it can be quite mucky looking. You'd never want to drink it straight from the tap. God, no. And often, like an old geezer with prostate problems, it comes out at such low volume and pressure, it seems like it takes hours to make any headway. No pun intended. So, in the end, I'd say at least half the water problem in Latin America is due to the idiot mental midgets at the water utilities. Because, you know, and I've said this before, it's been determined that half of the water coming from the main municipal wells is lost due to bad plumbing. So half the water problem in the city is due to the lard-ass government idiots in charge. The other half, due to third-world plumbing construction techniques. That means undersized pipes, bad connections, etc. Unfortunately, if you don't happen to be living in a fairly new subdivision and you're on municipal water, you'll have the same kind of problems too. That's the history and legacy of Latin America, and why it's universal that Latin households are very careful in the use of their water. So as for that question, have Latins not heard of the courtesy flush? Well, in some cases, especially in the poor and lower middle class sections of Latin towns, they're lucky to get the first flush in, the so-called utility flush. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was going through one of the El Salvador land borders, and since I'm a gringo, the world is not my urinal, so I asked an official at the border control station where the public bathroom was. He said it's over there, but it's out of service, which is par for the course. After all, we're talking about government here. And you know, after hearing that same response so many times, sometimes I'll ask the question, if the restroom's out of order, where do you do it then? Well, I know the answer if it's a Latin guy. The world is his urinal. Which is why if you're ever caught in that situation, it's always better to ask a Latin lady, because she'll actually know where a bathroom is, one that works. Kinda. So I asked a lady worker at that border station, and she pointed down the street to a row of scruffy, rundown tiendas and mom-and-pop fly-infested eateries. By the way, in most of middle and lower-middle-class Latin America, two skinny dogs begging and a couple of rusted tables on a sidewalk makes a restaurant, you know. Yep, this was your typical dirty, dusty, grimy, one-horse border town. There are a thousand just like it all through Latin America. But where was I? Oh, yeah. I asked the lady border crossing guard about the bathroom. She said there was a private baño you could use over there, and she pointed down the street. And you know, anything private in Latin America is 100 times better than public. That goes for up in the States, too. So I walked over, saw a crooked sign posted at one of those tiendas, said, baños, with an arrow around the back. So I made my way around the back to a kind of a dilapidated open-air garage where there were a few stalls. Walked up to a lady breastfeeding a kid at a little table, and she had little stacks of toilet paper. Probably 6 little piles lined up. Each one had about 4 sheets of brown prison-grade toilet paper in them. I handed her 10 cents, like the sign said, You know, El Salvador uses U.S. dollars. So anyway, you give her 10 cents, she gives you a stack of TP, and you're off to the races. Bad choice of words, right? By the way, I'd like to meet the guy that said 10 cents won't buy you crap these days. Ouch, sorry, I couldn't resist. So anyway, there I was, in a very, very rustic kind of 1940s style outhouse bathroom. Now, I have to warn you, especially ladies, you have to be prepared. There are a lot of terrible bathrooms just like that, mostly out in the boonies. Also in poor and middle class sections of most Latin towns. And not surprisingly, most of these setups don't have running water, or it's very sporadic. Though most of these rustic bathroom stations are plumbed for water, there just won't be any, and there won't be a sink either. Many times there'll be a 55-gallon drum of water alongside the stall. That would be the so-called clean water that you'd use for a flush. So you'll have this 55-gallon drum with a plastic bucket floating around in it. That's there for you to do a utility flush after nature has called or you've done your duty dance. Believe me, you want to get it over in a hurry. And for you delicate souls out there, it's no time to breathe deeply or have a bashful kidney attack. Oh, and about washing your hands. Well, if you're a chance taker, you'll use that same plastic bucket dipped into the 55-gallon drum. There might be some soap nearby. Use that if it's not too munged up. Swish your hands a bit. Rinse and repeat if you dare. And about wiping your hands, well, one old Latin farmer vaquero once told me that's why Mr. Strauss invented Levi's. So that's the story on courtesy flushes and lack thereof here in Latin America, and some observations about land border crossings. And why, for ladies anyway, McDonald's is your kind of place. No, don't eat there. I'd never recommend that. I'm talking about for the bathrooms. I know what you're thinking. Way too much information on that subject. But we do talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. And going to be some ugly once in a while. But do remember, because you're a gringo, you'll probably live in an upscale area, a gated, guarded community, and a nice district. And your bathroom or bathrooms will be very comfy, private, and first world all the way. And most importantly, you'll have plenty of water because gated, guarded subdivisions have their own wells. And do remember, there's lots of upscale shopping in Latin America now. Lots of first world franchises and strip malls, business districts, corporate parks, and all the newer ones built pretty much exactly to first world specifications. In fact, when you're there, you think you're in Toledo. And those joints, whether you like them or not, will have plenty of water too. Their bathrooms will be first world all the way. But even so, unless you're in a gringo-infested area, no courtesy flush. All right, no more bathroom stuff, I promise. Moving on, ran into another gringo friend who's been down here about 6 months now, hanging around off the gringo tourist trail, trying to be just with Spanish-speaking people, doing the Spanish immersion family thing, trying to mix with local speakers anytime he can. Because, like he said, and he's right about this, what better way to size up the local business climate than to mingle with people, especially the local Latin businessmen, who just might end up being your competition if you decide to start a business. Anyway, now he's up to maybe a 7 out of a 10 on the Spanish learning scale. He explained to me he was able to kick up his Spanish comprehension and vocabulary to another level by reading at least one Spanish language newspaper every day. So there we were, in a big Latin city way off the gringo tourist trail at a coffee shop called Café Barista. No gringos inside, it's always like that off the trail. But since it's a kind of a high-end place, competition for Starbucks, which is right across the street, by the way, it draws the Latin-moneyed crowd. So yes, there were a few pudgy, mush-brained bodyguards in the parking lot, leaning on black SUVs and pretending that their earbuds actually worked. Now, there were a few people in that place that looked a lot like gringos and gringas, but they were just upscale, light-skinned Latinos and Latinas. You know, there are rarely any short, dark Latinos in the moneyed, upscale Latin crowd. They're almost like royalty. They think they are, anyway. Funny how they always end up with marriage partners that are a bit lighter and taller than the average Latino who takes the chicken bus. In other words, they never hang out with, hook up with, or marry someone that looks like their maid or bodyguard. All right, where was I? Oh yeah, my gringo buddy said, "Johnny, you see that girl over there? I could have sworn she was a U.S. gringa. I was at the counter paying," he said, and he overheard her say to a girlfriend, "Look at his blue eyes." She said that in Spanish, of course. Nevertheless, a dead giveaway, you're not in Kansas or Cleveland anymore. Oh, and just a little detour here, talking about what Latins call ojos claros, which can be blue eyes, gray eyes, or green eyes. You know, wherever you are in Latin America, I always recommend you check out the 6 or 9 or 10 o'clock local news. You've heard me mention that before. Now, that said, I want you to hear this little story, just because there's a very subtle bit of classism slash racism built into this newscast. So, to the uninitiated, it won't mean anything, but it says volumes about Latin society. Now, if you watch the Latin news on TV, you'll see a lot of the same kind of stories you see in your own local news up in the States. Car accidents, drug crimes, crooked lawyers and judges, domestic violence, natural disasters, and once in a while you'll hear about a newborn baby stuffed into a garbage can or a dumpster. That happens everywhere, right? But what I'm about to tell you, I think, can only happen in Latin America. So the other day, the 6 o'clock news was on, and there was another report of a newborn baby abandoned in an alley in a crappy section of a Latin town. You read about that stuff once in a while. It's nothing new. And it's not that it occurs any more often down here than it does up in Cleveland, but this time, the on-the-scene reporter, a woman, said something that kind of threw me. It was the first time I ever heard of a baby being abandoned like that, where the reporter said the usual comments, how sad it is that a mother would leave her baby like that. Then she said, even worse, the baby had green eyes. Now, of course, a statement like that would mean nothing to a first-world gringo. Just another comment by an on-the-scene third-world reporter, right? But think about it. What she's saying is, a baby with green eyes, that is, any color except the usual brown or kind of black eyes you see in 99% of the population down here, that a mother abandoning a baby with green eyes was even a bigger sin than usual, which says volumes about the Latin society now, doesn't it? Ponder that for a moment while I get back to the main line of the story here. The gringo I met at that upscale coffee shop, which, by the way, beats the pants out of the Starbucks across the street for about half the price. Anyway, this guy said, Johnny, I want to show you something. And he dug in his pocket and he pulled out a page from the back section of the classified news of a big local Latin newspaper. He unfolded it, and it was a list of all kinds of government contracts that were being posted and up for public bid. For example, one was a contract out for a bid on 4,000 chairs and desks for a primary public school, another for setting up a computer lab in a government university, another was a government contract out for a bid on road maintenance, a 30-kilometer section of road way out in the boonies. In fact, there must have been 9 or 10 government contracts listed there out for public bid. Now, if you read the fine print, and it's all in Spanish, of course, you see that anyone could submit a bid if they fulfilled the list of stated requirements. Like, for example, you had to have been in business and incorporated for at least 3 consecutive years, plus you had to have successfully completed 4 different contracts of $100,000 each in that period of time, etc., etc. And you know, after reading the fine print, you'd have to conclude that this was real transparency in government. Sure, sounds good, but you'd be wrong. In that very same newspaper on the same day, on the second page, there was an article stating that there was some 250 insider contracts that never went up for public bid, given out to their friends, relatives, and cronies. So, big deal, that's nothing new, goes on in the first world too. But the point is, you see, my gringo friend, who just recently learned enough Spanish to kind of sift through articles like that, he said, Johnny, look at this one. And he pointed to a big government contract soliciting printing services. It was $1 million-plus contract for posters, pamphlets, maps, banner ads, electronic road signs, billboards, and such. It was a contract put out by that particular Latin American country's tourist bureau. He said, Johnny, you know, I was in the printing business up in the States for 20 years. I could bid on this and surely beat the pants off of the local supplier. I said, yeah, Greg, no doubt you could sweep the floor with the local competition. However, I don't think you heard some of my past shows where I mentioned it's not a very good idea to try to bid on any government contract or do any work for a Latin government at all. Why? Because they are such slow and bad payers. And when the government changes hands during a new election, often, the new group of lard-ass malignants won't honor previous contracts. It's happened to me. Then he said, well, why do they print the solicitations like this in the newspaper? I see them practically every day. And I said, well, that's because all Latin governments have some sort of transparency legislation, so they have to make it look like they're actually following the law. So they run the ads, soliciting bids, putting out the disclaimers and such, So bottom line, unless you know someone deep within the government apparatus, it'll be an exercise in beating your head against the wall. But even after I said that, I could tell he just wasn't quite convinced. Now, with this guy's newly found confidence, now that he can actually understand and eavesdrop on people in Spanish, he was feeling the power of being totally bilingual. And I know exactly what he was feeling at the moment. He's thinking, look, I know my Spanish pretty good now. I think I could beat these guys at their own game. I don't need a translator anymore. I don't need a local Latin to be my partner. I'm a gringo, man. I'm first world. I'm smarter than these guys, and I'll prove it. But from my viewpoint, he just stepped into the danger zone. Hey, I've seen that kind of gringo bluster and overconfidence many times, and generally it does not end well. But you know, most gringos, gringas, and expats who come down are the adventurous, chance-taking type who don't always listen to good advice and want to do things their way. Which is why so many smart gringos have setbacks, lose money, and have moments of cluelessness. Hey, that reminds me of somebody. Sounds just like me. All right, that said, bottom line, you want to have as little as possible to do with governments. Any governments, first world or lat. Oh, and by the way, later that night, I sent this guy some recent news from July 27. It's out of International Living's favorite gringo hotspot, Cuenca, Ecuador. I sent it to him to prove my point and basically to slam home the idea that it's almost never a good idea to get a government contract. All right, I'll paraphrase this. It says, a United Nations group takes a look at Cuenca's brand new tram. That's basically a light rail commuter train. Representatives from the United Nations Office for Project Services took a look at Cuenca, Ecuador's Tanvía project Tuesday. One of their objectives is to identify infrastructure projects in developing countries like Ecuador that'll benefit the local population and might be replicated in other developing countries and communities. So UN committee representatives talked to city officials in Cuenca, as well as engineers from Alstom, a French company that manufactures the train and moving stock and the tracks and other hardware for the project. So far, so good, right? However, meanwhile, the Four Rivers Consortium is demanding that the city of Cuenca pay $27 million for its losses in managing that tram / train construction. They walked off the job in early October 2016, claiming the city of Cuenca had added work that wasn't in the original contract, while the city of Cuenca says the consortium failed to meet deadlines and delivered substandard quality work. So the project's been stalled for almost a year, and the dispute has gone international. It will be mediated in a Santiago, Chile court. Furthermore, unnamed sources close to the Cuenca city officials say, if the city loses the case in Santiago, Chile, the $27 million would put the city into default. All right, me, Johnny, here again. Let me tell you, that kind of stuff happens all the time. You read it in every Latin newspaper. You don't hear about the small stuff involving $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000. That's not newsworthy. But those big million-dollar contracts that are halted or stalled because the government didn't come through with a payment or two or ten, if they get stiffed by the government and end up filing in international court, what luck will you have if you have a government contract and they stiff you for the bill? So a word to the wise, you may be brilliant in whatever niche you made your money in up in the States. It's easy to come down here to Latin America and put that expertise to work. By all means, come down. Compete with the local Latins. You'll probably wipe the floor with them. Many have. It happens all the time. But don't get involved with the government. So do read the local newspapers and check out all the local government contracts and tenders. It's interesting and informational to read about that stuff. After all, if you're coming down to live in a particular Latin country or city, you want to know what the local government dickheads are up to, right? After all, what they do and don't do and what they steal and don't steal is going to affect not only the locals, but you too. Enough said about that. All right, shifting gears again. Here's something I promised I'd talk about. Can't remember to who, but I promised I'd talk about this. Down here in Latin America, just like up in the States, if you go into a big franchise like Sears, Walmart, Best Buy, whatever, oftentimes when you're at the checkout counter paying cash, which is probably quite unusual these days, you'll probably get some change, some cash back, usually cents on the dollar. The cashier just might say, would you like to donate the extra cents to so-and-so charity? You've heard that line before, right? And you usually do it. Because, you know, what can you buy with 37 cents or whatever? Well, as lag time would have it, that's starting to show up down here too. In fact, in the last couple of years, A couple of the big food and chain stores are starting to do that now, too. And, you know, because this is Latin America, the cashiers are so polite, and they give you a real sincere smile, and you think, hey, why not? And it's always some charity that's supposed to help the poor indigenous children, whatever. Meanwhile, a couple of times a year, you'll see in the local newspapers, a lot of the big local charities, Latin equivalents of the United Way, March of Dimes and such, have been outed. The directors and administrators are living princely lives. Lear jets, beach houses, four-star hotels, along with embezzlement and outright theft. Hey, just like in the U.S. where there's 50 charities that give less than 4% of their income to the cause they purport, which is one reason to start a charity these days, right? What's funny is you'll never see on the TV news one of those charities being outed as a bunch of scammers because they advertise on TV stations and they run their telethons on TV stations. So why would they bite the hand that feeds them, right? Meanwhile, back at the cashier counter, I've been confronted a number of times by a smiling young lady asking me if I'd like to donate my 23 centavos to whatever charity. And you know what I've been saying lately? No. And you want to know why? Then I get the deer in the headlights look. I inform her, as nice as I can, how most all big-time charities are rip-offs and scams. Sometimes if there's no one else behind me, I'll ask the cashier if she's read about the charity scams in the paper. So far, they've all replied in the negative. And you know, most times they just don't believe it or don't want to believe it. So then do they think I'm nuts for bringing such a thing up? I'm thinking she's kind of amused and she's thinking crazy gringos. By the way, if your Spanish is working and you're paying attention and you're off the gringo tourist trail, you'll notice all the people in front of you will donate their centavos to the cause. So I just might be the only person who doesn't donate those centavos. So again, the cashier and the people standing behind me in line, because this is a conversation going on in Spanish, you know, I'm off the gringo tourist trail, and they're watching and listening because it's something they've never seen before, I'm sure. They either think I'm a crazy gringo or heartless cheapskate. Hypocrites, most of them. I know how they treat their help. They're maids, maintenance guys, and gardeners. Why do you think Latins love to work for gringos? You'll find out when you're looking for a maid, cleaning lady, gardener, whatever, as soon as you put the word out, you'll have more applicants than you can possibly handle. Yep, you could say it's the gringo advantage again, but the advantage is for the worker who's lucked into a job where the boss is a gringo. Now, I've just explained how I handle that situation, but what about you? Am I suggesting you do the same? Well, you have to decide that for yourself. But if you're like me and you don't bite, a thought's going to pass through your mind for a second while you're standing in line and everyone's looking at you. You're going to think, why bother? It's only a few centavos and they're a nuisance jangling around in your pockets. But it's the principle of the thing. I kind of liken it to voting. You know how so many people up in the States will say if you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain. To which I say if you do vote, you're giving a thumbs up to a wicked, destructive, hopelessly compromised, crooked and fixed system. Then you hear so many Americans say, yeah, I voted. It's a corrupt system, I know, but I voted for the lesser of two evils. Well, I'm sorry. Evil is evil, and I choose not to vote for any evil. But I digress as usual. All right, it's time to let you know that the lag time bubbles are starting to hit many sectors here in Latin America. Have a huge one in real estate. You have talked about that a number of times. There's another giant bubble that's about to burst involving credit and credit cards. Like up in the States, everyone's jacked completely up to the limit. By the way, here's an article that comes out of the biggest Honduran newspaper. It says, just today now, the Parliament of Honduras approved a reform, this is in Spanish, so I'm translating, called Ley de Tarjetas de Crédito. It says it was approved unanimously by the Honduran Congress. It says in a recent study, over 600,000 Honduran residents have credit cards, and the average, that's promedio, monthly interest rate for these 600,000 users is 69% a year. And Congress has just voted a mandate to drop it 20 points to 49% a year maximum. That would apply to Visa, MasterCard, and department store and grocery store credit cards like Sears and Costco, Walmart, etc. By the way, it says in Honduras, the credit card companies have gotten together, get this, to impose a charge of $4.20 to $8.40 if you don't use your credit card at least 3 times a month. Did you ever hear of such a thing? Well, maybe you have, because I don't know what it's like up in the States with credit cards, because I don't have one. Let me repeat, if you're in Honduras and have a credit card issued in that country, you pay between $4.20 and $8.40 a month, if you haven't used your credit card at least 3 times in that month. By the way, more than half of Latin American countries do exactly the same thing. They penalize you if you don't use your credit card at least 3 times a month. We're talking about credit cards here, not debit cards. Oh, and by the way, Honduras has a population of around 8.5 million people. That means only 1 in 14 people have a credit card. Breaking it down farther, statistics show that 1 in 6 adults in Honduras has a credit card. Because unlike in the U.S., in Latin America, kids don't have credit cards, only adults. And about half of the adults in Honduras have a debit card, mostly because that's the way most people working on the books get paid, direct deposit. So companies work deals with banks to issue debit cards to employees, which is the only way they can pull cash out of an ATM machine. Isn't it interesting how banks get poor Latins hooked on plastic? Yet they don't use those debit cards to buy things. They use them to get cash out of the ATMs. Which leads us to a discussion on the cashless society here in Latin America. According to the same article, 70 to 80% of the transactions done by adults in Honduras is with cash. And that's the way it is in most of the rest of Latin America that's off the gringo tourist trail. That should give you an idea why a cashless society is not coming anytime soon to Latin America. Oh, and right below this credit card article, there are some Facebook posts that have been printed, some public opinion comments and such. Anyway, in the very first comment, the guy says credit cards have ruined his life. Surprise there, huh? And the second comment comes from a congressman who says, and you have to laugh at this, the reason why we all voted unanimously to reduce the tariff 20 percentage points, we all have credit cards and the interest rates are killing us too. Death by credit card. I kind of like that. All right, we're getting towards the end of the show now. Let me see if I could squeeze this little message into less than a minute. If you're thinking about coming to my next Expat Insider Seminar, which should be in January 2018 if the world doesn't implode by then, just shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the early bird list. However, if you can't get boots on the ground just yet or get to the seminar, you need my Expat Essentials course. Just go to www.expatplanb.com, check it out. And finally, if you're working on that Plan B right now or just getting started, you might find you need a one-on-one phone call with me to go over your particulars because everyone's Plan B is a little different. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and download my phone consult form. You'll see questions and comments there that you might not have thought of before.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.